welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Greetings and welcome.
Greetings and welcome to Remnant Battle Lines Prophecy News Hour with the Watchman and Tower. Tonight on the show, Iraqi Christian peril. Syrian Christians displaced. Israel, Erdogan, Palestinians, and more prophecy news. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Wednesday, April 5th, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. Check out the featured post by The Watchman at warn-usa.com, danaglensmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com. We have Living as Christians in a Lawless World. Paramount prophetic warning to Christians living in this lawless world, plus 16 New Testament apostolic directives to help you make it through the evil days in which we live. Also, Nephilim, the 13th floor, Lucifer risen. Lest Satan should get an advantage on us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. So check out that. The best laid plans of mice and men. Nephilim, the 13th floor, Lucifer risen. These three events are here already. It's a battle between forces, and the array of plots, battles, and plans are made. There are those who will tell you this. They know. Now deep within the 13th floor of the underground base, the secret is revealed. They don't advertise it, but they are giddy with excitement because the best laid plans of mice and men can not stop them now. And the newest article by The Watchman is Americana, Poor Wayfaring Stranger. There is a poor wayfaring stranger on the road in Americana today. Do you know who it is? Out of this nation's history comes evidence. Now the truth which was known is now passed over. Will you recognize this stranger if he were to pass you by? I think not, for he has already done it. And Dana, also, the Watchman, also wrote a psalm, and that's at the end of this article, so check it out. You'll find it very interesting. And you can go to warn-usa.com or danaglensmith.com to check out the latest articles and listen to the Bible studies and news shows. We have three Twitter accounts. Hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag WarnRadio, or WGS_Watchman. And also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/WarnRadio. And now I welcome in the Watchman for our latest news articles. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fabulous. Isn't that exciting?
Yes, it is. And today we are here on Wednesday. This is, of course, our Prophecy News Hour. And up front, I want to also quote Franklin Graham. He says, "Why is anyone shocked? Target prides itself in its policy that allows biological men to use women's restroom. On Sunday, in one of their Chicago area stores, a man entered the ladies' room and exposed himself to a little girl who was at the store shopping with her mom,"
oh my
wrote
goodness.
Graham. the CEO of both the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and the relief and development organization Samaritan's Purse. Well, out of this is coming a boycott by the American Family Association. And you can go to the afa.net/target or just afa.net and let them know whether or not you're going to boycott. The idea, Franklin Graham is calling for a boycott of Target.
Yeah, that's not acceptable, allowing that to go on.
Well, you know, I haven't noticed on our Target what they have on the restrooms in there. I don't really go into the restrooms. Every once in a while I will. You know, the people are calling for a boycott. And I remember when, and they just recently pushed this decision at Target. So now they're really trying to get this implemented. And so
they've always been on the front lines of this stuff with the veterans and everything else.
And, well, at any rate, this is one of those things that, you know, people need to take care of. However you feel, as far as I'm concerned, you know, we have a lot of restrooms where these guys could get in. Now, if you go on over to Menards, they have a family restroom. And if you are in that arena where you're a guy thinking you're a woman or a woman thinking you're a guy, instead of going into the other restrooms, just go into a private, secure family restroom. And they've got them. But see, the LGBTQ... don't want that. See, they want to have this to where they can enter in and do these things. And they also push where boys can shower in girls' showers. You know, and when they start changing, see, their breasts, boys can develop the breasts, but they still have the penis. So you can see a kid in there with a development of breasts and a penis in a girl's shower. Now, this is what your LGBTQ want to do. And, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they need to go to the family restroom. I just absolutely do not agree, of course, with the LGBTQ purveyors of their belief. And, you know, Obama did. I'm not one of them. And... that's the bottom line. I stand on scripture, but you're not going to stop America from doing this, folks. You're just not.
Unfortunately.
America is gone. And having said that, we have a right as Christians to stand up and let them know that we disagree with it.
That's
now,
right.
They may go ahead with it, but at least you've stood up to tell them. And so, at any rate, I wanted to begin with that. You know, I mean, and I've been, you know, I've been concerned about the kids for a lot of years. You and I have talked about the kids, and how our school system tries to pervert them, you know, and lead them astray from the truth. And, you know... we have the problems we have today, Tower, because we have been pushing just filth through our schools and in our nation.
That's right.
And when you
tragic.
When you raise kids without no morals, and when you have churches that will not stand up to oppose stuff, then you got a problem. Now, you see a lot of individual groups on various sides of the aisle that will stand up for various causes. But, you know, if you go back, clear back to the 70s, you see very few churches that would stand up. You know, we used to have the Jerry Falwells, and we used to have...
Yeah.
You know, a number of other big major churches, including David Wilkerson, big voices, national voices that would stand against this. But you don't have many left.
No, they're gone.
Franklin Graham, he's the only one that I've read about that actually came out and said something. Nobody else. All the churches we have, all the Bible schools, all the seminaries, nobody says nothing. just Franklin Graham. You know, I mean, that shows you how far we are. Now, I'm sure there's pastors that are individual in their churches are saying things, but, you know, on a national level, we just, you know, it's been silent for so many years.
Yeah, that's tragic.
You know, and also wanted the, now that came in late today, and the other thing it came in was something by International Christian Concern talking about a report on Nigeria. They have something is called the Middle Belt, and that's really where you have the ranchers, we can say farmers, who farm the land, and then you have the Fulani who have herds. And the Fulani, of course, it was said a long time ago that Boko Haram had actually influenced the Fulani to attack Christians and kill them. And right now, the Fulani, according to this report, outpace Boko Haram in Nigeria as the biggest threat. And that's as of March of this year. This last month, there were 27 attacks by the Fulani, and only six of which involved any fighting from those who were attacked. They led to the deaths of 225 Christians, the destruction of tens of thousands of dollars in property, and thousands of families displaced from their home. During this same period, Boko Haram killed 37 people, many including military personnel with whom they were engaged in combat. And more than 75% of the cases now in Nigeria are Fulani. And there's been a lot of stuff about this thing in Nigeria, because Nigeria at one time used to be one of those states that they would look at, nations that was doing relatively well. And they had, you know, the Christians and the Muslims got along. They weren't having a lot of battles. And then, for quite a lot of years now, it's turned into this battleground, because Boko Haram actually really rose to power during the rise of ISIS, and they actually vowed allegiance to ISIS, and Boko Haram is still going, but the Fulani have been openly, you know, killing these Christians. Of course, nobody stops.
No, and that's just unconscionable. No. I don't understand why. I mean, I do, but it's just so wrong.
Yeah, I agree. And we've been talking about that, but nothing's going to get done. And, of course, today, if you've been watching the news, you heard that Trump is pulling out the troops from Syria, which is a good deal. We need to get out of Syria.
Yeah.
And that's all there is to it as far as I'm concerned. The other thing of it is Mueller supposedly told Trump that he's the subject of investigation but not the target. He wants to investigate him. He told Trump to relax, but part of the problem with some of his team that was leaving, Trump wouldn't listen to the advice. They told him not to be interviewed by Mueller, and Trump wouldn't listen, so they quit. And so that was what was coming out with all this today.
Huh.
You know, there's a number of issues legitimately concerning the president and his rights that says he has a lot of constitutional rights and the rights as far as a president to do what he's doing. And in fact, you know, even if he were indicted, there would be a strong case for Trump. So who knows where they're all going. Anytime you have someone with a gun that wants to kill you and tells you, well, you know, you're just the subject, you're not the target.
You better run the other way.
You know, it's, you know, say, well, you know, you just don't trust people. Well, yeah, I don't trust people. You know, today, you know, I follow the scripture which says, beware of men, they shall deliver you up.
Yeah.
That's what the Lord said. He said, if you're persecuted in this area, go to another area. Make no mistake about it. We are entering into a time when Christians shouldn't be fools. They should be wise. And they should understand that our Lord told us not to stand there and just get slaughtered just because you can, but to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. If they persecute you here, go to another area. And on and on. There's a lot of things. We covered this thing years and years ago about the tactics the Lord gives us to use, you know. And I've seen time and time again a lot of the things going on. But it's, you know, folks, really, the people on the front lines are the ones that I don't criticize them. Because really, even in the midst of all the stuff going on, you know, there's nowhere to run, Tower, over
no.
there.
Nowhere. There's not.
There's just Muslim nations everywhere. Where do you go from Nigeria? Very few places.
Yeah.
You know, where do you go from Syria to get away from Muslims killing you? You can't go into Libya. You can't go into Iraq. You can't go up into Erdogan. And you can't go down. Well, you could probably enter in Jordan if they had let you, because Jordan's been pretty peaceful. But, you know, you get in a lot of these countries, there's nowhere to run.
No. No place.
I mean, and so we do have a major problem with this. And so, you know, this is why we cover this. And by the way, I got to remember to call. We've got a missions group that we've talked about, and we've been in contact with them. We want to do an interview with them. And I'm going to be contacting some other major, some of these ministries, because we are an advocate, and one of the things we want to do is get this message out and let everybody know.
Yeah, that's right. People need to be aware of what's going on with our brothers and sisters so they can help them.
Well, you know, you and I were talking about Trump pulling the troops out of Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at the Christian Aid Mission in Syria. Do you see that one?
Yes.
Well, you know, there's a missionary that was there, and there are missionaries, and there are people on the ground in a lot of these places that are Christian that try to help out. And do you want to read a little bit of that intro, the green man.
A second. Displaced Christians in Syria fear for their lives. The rebel fight for Afrin in northern Syria has driven thousands of civilians out of the city, including Christians who fear for their lives as they find themselves displaced alongside radical Muslims. A native missionary team bringing aid to people trapped in Afrin and to others displaced in outlying villages has stood alongside Christians facing hostility from Muslim radicals. Anywhere we go, they say, you are infidels, and they are not accepted by people, and if they are, they are treated very poorly and badly, she said. And in the villages where many are now located, because they cannot return, they are very scared that they will be slaughtered and killed because of their faith. That is horrible, having to live like that.
And that is, of course, in Syria. And that instability is because Syria, you know, Assad is still not able to bring in any kind of stability. ISIS, you know, really picked up its steam in Syria, and then when they got into Iraq, they actually got a hold of a bunch of American equipment, fighting equipment, that went to the Iraqi military there, and ISIS used that. And so when they went in through Iraq, they drove a lot of the remaining Christians straight out of the country. Now, of course, the whole issue with this is that while this has been going on, a lot of these Syrian Christians, and I mean specifically Syrian Christians, have not been allowed into the United States. And there has been, I know Obama, and we covered this when he was in power, and there are still some of his people rooted in the government that still try to continue with his policies. And so there are a lot of problems over there. And, you know, the thing of it is that we do not need to be caught in a war over there.
That's right.
And, you know, Russia is over there, Erdogan is over there, and Assad is over there. That's enough. If those three countries can't bring some semblance of peace, then there isn't going to be any peace.
Well, that's for sure.
And the Christians, you know, and of course, you know, we can get into Iraq as having the same problem, because Iraq does have a lot of problems the same way. And but the Christians, I mean, you know, if you look at America, or if you look at Europe, you know, if there was suddenly a lot of fighting going on, this kind of thing, a lot of people would be uprooted and they would be trying to leave and go someplace. This is the way it was during World War II. There was no place for a lot of them to go. And, you know, I mean, by the time Hitler swept all the way through Europe to the coast and was starting to hit the island where the UK was, there was nowhere in that whole region to go. They had to try to go down south, and a lot of people managed to find some help through the outlying areas of the Catholic Church, down in through Italy and some other places into the Mediterranean to get away. But you couldn't even go to Africa, because Hitler was in Africa. He was in Italy throughout that whole area. He was even over into the Far East. Everywhere he went, he was there. So if these things start happening in the UK, it's going to be the same way. And we are
sure
living
will.
In this. Yeah. But the good part of this is this missionary, she's indigenous. She was trapped in the city, and she was speaking to Christian Aid Mission representatives who had come in there to talk to her. And they said that people are coming to the Lord like no other time, even these hard times.
That's great.
Even though there is shelling, we are coming together. The Lord is blessing us, but the humanitarian part is just... And then she broke down into tears.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't finish that, but... you know,
yeah,
the thing of it is...
tragic. Sad.
You know, they said that somebody got killed, the director said. They came in shouting and said, "We were so scared, and we know that God listens to you, so we're here with you because God is going to protect you." And so the native missionary and other Christians prayed with him, letting them know that they pray to Jesus and in his name, and the neighbors gave their assent and bowed silently with them, perhaps the first step in a journey towards faith.
Yeah.
Now, this is what's going on. You know, on the mission field out there. And, of course, you know, there's an old saying that actually came out of World War II, probably World War I, too. There are no atheists in foxholes. And, you know, in the old days when you were going to war, you got a Bible, little New Testament, to stick in your pocket. That's what part of the things was that went with you.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, they don't do that anymore.
No. Nope.
There's a lot of different kinds of things you can take, so I'm not really sure what it has been out of the service a long time. But,
well, I know that the Christian servicemen weren't allowed to take their Bible into Iraq and over there.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that's a crock.
Me too.
But you see, again, there's a lot of that, you know, even when Bush got into his war, when America got to get into Saudi Arabia to get the push to go on into Iraq, there was a lot of things that our military could not do because we were who we were.
Yeah.
But, you know, remember last week we were talking about the Assyrian Christian family. He was a doctor.
Yes.
And his wife was a doctor. They were both doctors. And they were stabbed to death in their home in Baghdad.
No.
And they had left Iraq because of everything that happened. And then they returned about 5 years ago to work and help rebuild Iraq. And these idiots, Muslims that are over there, killed these two doctors.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, and we have seen that time and time again. Kill the doctors. People that are there to do good, and you kill them.
And to help.
Yeah.
You know, make your lives better.
They said that they had been tortured. They lived in a Shiite-controlled neighborhood. You know, they don't have a motive, but... You know, the big problem of it is the people that are living there, they believe that that's a signal that says there's no place for Syrian Christians in Iraq. And we've reported on this, as many have, you know, that they've lost 80-some percent of the Christians in Iraq. And if you get like Afghanistan is number two persecutor of Christians, you know, worldwide.
Yeah.
According to a ranking, I think ICC did that ranking. It might have been someone else. I can't remember who the author of that was. But, you know, you get like that, and you look at Afghanistan. There's not many Christians in Afghanistan, but they're number two persecutor. And you know, under Saddam Hussein, you know, America hated him so much and the allies that they got rid of him. Now, I was talking a veteran yesterday. He was a veteran of the war over there. He had been in there during the time they took out Saddam Hussein. And he told me, he says, you know, and I told him when I was talking about it, I said, I opposed the war in Iraq. We shouldn't have been in there. I said, for the one reason is while Saddam Hussein was in there and nobody liked him, he kept the Muslims from killing all the Christians. Christianity actually was able to thrive during his rule. But when they took him out, Christians became the target, and now the 80% of the Christians are gone. And he says, you know, in prison, when they had him in prison before they had executed him, he told him, he says, you're not going to be able to keep this thing. You don't understand this place. You will not be able to keep these people alive. So at any rate, that comes right from a veteran who was in the war, who was there. And that's what Saddam Hussein said while he was in prison before they hung him. And he was right.
Yeah.
Now, yes, he did a number of things, but see... The way they ruled, they put the fear of Sodom in them, and these guys feared Sodom more than they feared their own God. So they didn't touch anybody for fear of getting in trouble. And of course, he got taken out, and I'm not saying he was a good guy. I'm just saying that when Sodom was in there, you had, the Assyrian church in there. And of course, matter of fact, you could talk about the Chaldean church, the Assyrian church, and across that whole area from Syria into Iraq, all of that, there were Christians. And the minute you weakened, you took out, you weakened Assad, you took out Saddam Hussein, of course, you took out, the Taliban, which was in Afghanistan, and of course, there's Libya with Omar Gaddafi, who was murdered. And you can see all the way across, Christians, they're still celebrating the death of Christians that got caught in Libya by some ISIS people and were slaughtered over there. There were about 20, 25 young men who were Christians from the Syriac church the Egyptian church over there. And they had gone into Libya to work, and they got caught and were murdered too. I mean, this is what was happening. They were always able to go in there to find some work, but they got killed this time. And so this whole area, all the way across there, and now Erdogan wants to have a caliphate, and he's pushing for that. He's got Pastor Brunson in jail. He faces the rest of his life in jail right now.
That's horrible.
And he's going up for – he's going. They're going to have their prison, his trial, I think it is next week. And you know, the thing of it is that he's has an open call for 57 Muslim nations, which belong to that the group of Muslim nations, mm-hmm. to attack Israel. So all of this is leading into what we would call major prophecy when it comes to Israel and That's all right. those around her. And you know, and of course, the other thing of it is Gatestone Institute. Now, the Christian Aid Mission was actually had contact with the Gatestone Mission as well, because the Gatestone covered this and persecution of Christians. This is for coming out of the Gatestone Institute, said is worse today than at any time in history. A recent report by an organization, Aid to the Church in Need, revealed Iraq happens to be ground zero for the elimination of Christians from the pages of history. Iraqi Christian clergymen recently wore a black sign as a symbol of national mourning for the last victims of anti-Christian violence, a young worker and a whole family of three. This means there is no place for Christians, said Father Bios Quasha of the Church of Marios in Baghdad. We are seen as a lamb to be killed at any time. And indeed, the scripture does say that we are led as sheep to the slaughter.
Yes.
And French chief rabbi. Now, this is a rabbi, folks. He made an urgent plea to Europe and the West to defend non-Muslims in the Middle East. He says they're like Holocaust victims, and this is what the rabbi said. And I was glad to hear this. As our parents wore the yellow star, Christians are made to wear the scarlet letter of Nun, Corsia said. The Hebrew letter Nun is the same sound as the beginning of the Nazarene, an Arabic term signifying people from Nazareth or Christians, and used by the Islamic State to mark Christian houses in Mosul. And so he was calling for somebody to do something, because the Christians there are being targeted just like the Jews were during World War II.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah. And of course, now the report is 81% of Iraq's Christians have disappeared.
Wow.
Now, the remaining number of Sabaeans, an ancient community devoted to St. John the Baptist, is even smaller. 94% have disappeared. 18% of the Yazidis have left the country or have been killed. Another human rights organization, Hammurabi, said that Baghdad had 600,000 Christians in the recent past. Today, there are only 150,000.
Wow. That's horrible.
Yeah. So while you're sitting, you know, in your warm, comfortable churches or your warm house, and you're free and you can go to work and you can be safe, think of the brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. Because this is what's going on. And I know we have a lot of listeners and a lot of people that's contacted us, you know, over the years as well as recent. And you know, we know that you're out there and you do support missions. You do help them out. The people that need to hear, unfortunately, we're not going to reach everybody. But the bottom line of it is we need to pray that something will happen. But just sending American soldiers in Iraq, in Syria, and expecting us to clean it up, well, I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to bring our soldiers home. We need to put them on the border, both the southern border and the northern border. We need to protect our country. And if in the inner city these people are becoming unruly, we need to send them in there. We need to wake this country up and wake up the liberals and
yes,
tell them
amen.
That
I don't know if they're going to wake up. They're deluded.
Well, you know, the bottom line of it is that's about time somebody woke somebody up here. Because we do have the Constitution, and we do have the Bill of Rights. And there is a way to get into this country, and that's legal, not illegally. And the problem we have in the world is we have a whole bunch of communists. And, of course, I have written about this, and I've told you about it. You can go on over to our websites. I have a number of articles over there detailing all of this. So I suggest you go on over there. And you can go over to warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. But it makes you sick, you know.
It does. Truly.
You know, I can't imagine, you know, when you have those kind of numbers. And then if you think of America, how many Christians in America would disappear if this was going on here?
Yeah, that's right.
There is a difference, folks. And I've said this time and time again. America is not Iraq. America is not Iran. America is not Afghanistan. America is different. And you come in here with your radical Islam and start blowing us up and getting your guns, even though the liberals want to take them all, you're going to have people that are going to fight back. They're going to shoot, and they're going to shoot to kill. They're going to defend their families, and you're not going to get their guns. And it will be bloody, and you will pay the cost. And by the time it's done, there won't be anything left.
That's right.
So make no mistake. You know, people have this stupid idea that, you know, America is one of those countries that wouldn't defend itself. Now, see, Japan made the same mistake.
Yeah.
And then, I'm trying to think, their major general, Yoshihito, who was he? Not Hirohito, that was the leader. I'm trying to think of his name. Can't think of his name, but he said that after they had attacked and everything, I can't remember how far after he attacked that he said when we attacked America, he says all we did was wake the sleeping giant.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and it was, and they paid.
They did. That, I mean, it was a pretty price they paid. Unfortunately.
So, you know, in Mosul, hundreds of Christian homes have been razed. So this is the two places where ISIS was at. Now, see, ISIS ran out, but see, ISIS in some of these, like Mosul, there's the Sunni triangle, and the Sunnis are the ones that welcomed in ISIS. And many of the local Sunnis became ISIS fighters. And when ISIS was defeated, they simply took off the ISIS uniforms and became regular Sunnis again. And, of course, this has been the big problem, trying to find out who the former ISIS fighters were. But, see, they're still there, and they still hate Christians, and are going to fight and kill. So this is the problem you have there. And it is a mess. And the Iraqi clergy warns that the churches are in danger. Well, see, it's about high time the Iraqi clergy and all the others stop worrying about their bricks and stones and get their people and get them out of there. You know, by the time you get done, it ain't going to do any good.
Nope.
I mean, really. So I don't know.
Yeah, I just look at that stuff and I see it's coming to America. You know, I'm sorry. That's what I see.
Well, I know.
I don't know when. I don't want it to. But I think America's going to pay a price.
Well, you know, the biggest problem we have right now is you know, the fight that's in America for who America really is.
Yeah.
And, you know, today there's that, matter of fact, the Gatestone Institute wrote of this, and also, Pat Buchanan wrote something similar. You know, the whole idea is, and someone said this today about what Trump was doing, he is simply putting back, restoring things to America, what had been taken away under Obama and others.
Right.
And, you know, the thing of it is, Pat Buchanan quotes Enoch Powell. He warned 50 years ago about mass migration into Europe. And he said it in Latin, and I can't say it, but it means, I see the river Tiber foaming with much blood. And it's now seen as prophecy.
Huh.
Because he had talked about all the mass migration, and it would turn into blood. It would turn against the people, and we've seen that.
Oh, yes, we have.
And, of course, you know, Trump now is trying to stop people from crossing the border, and now he's talking about putting the military down there. But see, today, if you are a patriot, you know, if you want to, you know, if you're a conservative, if you believe in, family, God, and country, you know, for instance, then they shame you into believing that you're nothing. See, this is a trick of the devil. And it's why the Muslims, when they have the majority, they use that shaming technique against Christians.
Right.
But see, that's why I would never make it in a Muslim nation like that. I don't bow down to their shaming. I spit back. I will not go silently into the night, because that's not in me. I will let them know what I believe and what the truth is. And if I die in the process of telling the truth, then that's a better place to be anyway.
That's right.
But I will not live in fear, and I will not give in to lies out of the pit of hell. And I've seen that coming from the left and the liberals and all them special interest groups, including many Mexicans that want to come over the border, among others. And it's always, you know, and I've heard this time and time again, and this is part of a thing, you know, the Gatestone Institute had an author on it, talked about shaming. It's called the tyranny of shaming. And it starts out like this. Every day we hear on television, we need an honest discussion about race in this country. Many well-meaning Americans, however, may have had enough of this endless, empty, and dysfunctional discussion of race.
Yeah.
To an outsider, Americans seem obsessed with race, and the discussion always deteriorates to shouting, insulting, blaming, finger-pointing, distorting reality, and removing any hope of taking responsibility. And then it goes on to say, now the one writing this is an immigrant. We immigrants, on the other hand, the minute we land in the U.S., we feel the political struggle for our vote. The day I got my citizenship and went out to register to vote, some people in the room told me to register as a Democrat because the Democrats would protect my rights from the racist establishment and give me stuff.
Oh, good grief.
Many of the people who had come with me did register that way, but I found the urging alarming. I grew up under a socialist totalitarian system under the leadership of President Gamal Abdel Nasser in Egypt, a nanny state that also gives you stuff. And when they give you stuff, you can't have stuff of your own. They take everything away from you.
Wow.
You know, and this person goes on to say, several generations of Americans seem to have been brought up on the false premise that if someone loves this country, its liberties, its culture, and its way of life or God, they must be racist. If they are white and not Democrats, the assumption goes they must be racist. As the majority of the population of America happens to be whites, whites are supposedly the face of America. Racists, holding on to their guns and Bibles and depriving the rest of the country of a socialist utopia. She goes on to say, generations of Americans also seem to have been brought up with an exaggerated view of white privilege, to the degree that at this point it is probably a bit of a lie, as though achieving success and wealth in America were due to the luck of skin color lottery, than as Justice Clarence Thomas has been arguing, to hard work. Here, however, free education may be at fault. Yes, everybody is able to get it, but it is terrible. So in reality, nobody really gets much of an education.
Huh.
And then the article goes on to say, the use of the word racist in the West is used similarly like the word infidel in Islamic societies. Like the shame-based culture of the Middle East, many Americans today, presumably to avoid the backlash of being shamed, seem to have fallen into the trap of groupthink. If, God forbid, you are seen as a Republican, conservative, or if you prefer capitalism to socialism, or do not belong to a victim group, shaming will be directed at you. Now see, this is what I'm talking about. And I'm telling you what this person says.
Yeah.
Today, if you ask a question to a man on the Arab street, you'll most likely get a prefabricated answer, one that is probably the unthought-through opinion of the majority. This technique is frequently used in the Islamic culture, in addition to terror, of course, to crush the non-Muslim infidels out of existence. That many Democrats seem to be planning fundamentally to change America by making white people the minority and replacing them with immigrants, both legal and illegal, is no longer a secret. That's what they said. In 2015, former Vice President Joe Biden said that whites becoming a majority in America is a good thing. An unrelenting stream of immigration, nonstop, folks like me who are Caucasian of European descent for the first time in 2017 will be an absolute minority in the United States of America. Absolute minority, fewer than 50% of the people in America. And of course, and he says that's not a bad thing. That's a good source of our strength. That's Joseph the idiot Biden.
Good grief.
And Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi joined in saying President Trump's immigration plan would make America white again. Senate Majority Leader Schumer cited skin color and voting against a white federal judge nominee. This is nonsense.
Yeah, it is. They don't look at the credits or, I mean, his abilities and his education and his experience. They look at his skin color.
Now, see, this article is really, really good, and it says things that if I told you, you know, you would think that I'm biased. Ironically, it is the white leaders in politics and media who have become central in advocating the elimination of white American culture, presumably to assemble a majority of voters. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
Such attacks on the white majority in America are bluntly racist. It's a shame that many Americans are unable or refuse to see what many immigrants see. That it was under this white majority that millions of oppressed people from around the world of all colors and creeds were rescued from tyranny, Sharia law, slavery, discrimination, Islamism, and a miserable existence under corrupt, war-torn, and famine-stricken nations.
Yeah.
Instead, many seem to want to bring much of that here. How could politicians who advocate displacing white people in America to make the minority think it's a good thing? This logic is cruel towards great citizens of a great nation that did so much good in the world. Now, are you listening, Democrats? Are you listening, all you morons out there? Excuse me. It was not Africa, China, South America, Europe, or Russia that spoke for the oppressed and brought them to live in freedom. It was America, white, black, Indian, Asian, and everything in between, and its Judeo-Christian values did this. Now, I can say amen to that.
Amen, that's right.
That is good talk. That's good writing.
Yeah, amen.
And that was Noni Darwish, and she is well known in American society, born and raised in Egypt, and is the author of Wholly Different, Why I Chose Biblical Values Over Islamic Values, and she's an immigrant. Great article, just absolutely, and it tells the truth. Now, of course, there's a lot of them that don't like Noni either. But the bottom line of it is she tells the truth. There's a lot of good things. She wrote it from the heart.
Well, they don't want the truth.
No, they don't. And that's true. You know, that's what America was.
Right.
You know, your own family came out, you know, from Ireland.
Yeah. They did.
You know, and you can trace your parents, your kin, right here where we're living in this state, back to the days of the cowboy and Indians and stagecoach times.
Before this Wyoming became a state.
Yeah. Now, my grandfather and grandmother were homesteaders in this state. But the thing of it is that, you know, on the farm with Grandpa and Grandma, we always had the beet workers come, and they would hoe the beets, and they would do their job and leave and go to the next field.
Yeah, good workers, too. They came to America to work.
Yeah, and they had their green cards to work, and they came in, they worked, and they went home when they were done, and they had their pockets full.
And they had pride.
Well, they did.
Worked hard.
And we didn't call them a bunch of dirty, rotten Mexicans. We were glad to see them.
Yeah.
And I was raised with Mexicans and Indians and cowboys. I had friends in all groups, and they were friends. I didn't worry the fact that they were Mexicans. They were my friends. I'd go over to their house, and I remember the first time they offered me green chili. Holy moly. That was hot. That's the last time I had green stuff on eggs, I can tell you that. Boy, that was hot. And they laughed all the time. They saw this white boy sweating. I became red. Yeah. That was a big joke in the household.
Oh, I bet it was.
But, they were friends. And, I had hippie friends and cowboy friends and Indian friends. We didn't have no black friends because there was nobody black in our in our city. So that's all there is to that. But, I was raised in a family, they fought in wars. They stood up for America. They knew what this nation was about.
Yeah, that's right.
And to hear all these stupid arguments from all these, and especially when you get into Hollywood and all these morons, just because they have millions of dollars, just because they happen to have their own TV show or something, or a popular actor, doesn't mean they have all the smarts in the world.
Well, that's for sure.
If you think they have all the smarts in the world, just look how many of them have everything they could want, and yet they end up committing suicide. And if they're not committing suicide, how many of them get divorced over and over again? They're never happy. They never stay with the same one that they married to. Very few of them do. And how many of them have wound up committing suicide when they've had it all? See, the issue here is it's not all your money, not all your power, not all that stuff, but you need to get right with the Lord God. That's Amen. What you need to do. And yes, we are a screwed up nation. There's no doubt about it. And this nation needs to turn around no matter what. The conservatives will speak out about no matter what the liberals and all the others will do. And I can guarantee you all the foreigners coming into this country could care less about what America used to be because they want to make it into something else. And you have a lot of people in political power today, and especially you have in California, a liberal based of politicians that are turning that place into a sewer pit because they allow everybody to come in. And there was just another, they're starting to have a backlash over this sanctuary thing they're doing because, the governor called out and said that California was a sanctuary state. And then, of course, you had a city over in Orange County that declared they were not a sanctuary state. I think that's where it was. Trump came out and said that we're going to back them all we can. Then there was another one today, and there's been a number of them that's been standing up and say, hey, we are not a sanctuary city. We stand, with America. We stand with the Constitution, with our president.
Yeah, that's good.
And so, this is the fight in California. And folks, if you want to lose the America and the God that blessed this nation, then you just go ahead and keep believing this nonsense that Obama and his morons fueled. Now, if you want to continue listening to it, you can go on over to Netflix, Netflix is really short of a full load when it comes to decent programming, really. Now, Amazon, on the other hand, although Amazon is owned by the liberal globalist Bezos and has the WAPO, they do have a lot of faith-filled movies over there. So, go figure. But if you go If you look at all the liberals, Netflix, Google, Amazon, Microsoft, Twitter, Facebook, and I could go on and on. They are all liberals, they're all globalists, and they all want to control things and push it towards a globalist situation.
Yep.
And so there are others who are conservative. Fox News came out and said today, we are not going, I think it was today or yesterday, we are not going to be pushed. We believe in freedom of speech, and we're backing Laura Ingraham because a liberal leftist came in and trying to get her all of her support removed and the whole nine yards. And you remember that guy with the pillow, you know, that made that pillow that got so famous? The little pieces, it's about 50, 60 bucks. Remember that pillow?
No.
Yeah, it's the one we always talk about buying and never do.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to buy the pillow. I'm going to buy that pillow because I like this guy. I'm going to buy it. You know what he said? He said, I am not going to stop supporting Laura Ingraham. He says, I believe, you know, in this country. And he went on and he was talking about this stuff. And this is a guy that I'm going to keep my support there. You know, and he believed in the message and what she was trying to do. And this guy deserves to have his products, and he deserves to have people buy them from him. But see, this is what you need to do. You need to support the people that are going to restore America.
That's right.
Now, if we go down, at least we go down fighting. But if you sit on your butt and sit on your hands and keep your mouth shut and don't do anything, don't be surprised if tomorrow you've got Stalin or you've got Mao or you've got Erdogan ruling this country because you were too lazy to do anything. Yeah, lazy.
Yeah.
So watch who you're supporting. And when you get online, you know, I personally think a lot of the conservatives ought to get their own Google. They ought to get their own search engine. They ought to get their own YouTube. And there are the Health Rangers doing that.
That's a good thing. I hope more of them will do that.
Yeah. You know, I signed up for an account myself. I don't know if I'll go ahead. Depends on the cost, you know. Although I want to help him, I can't do an endless.
Yeah.
But see, you see the thing that I'm getting at, folks? This Noni that I was telling you about, who came to this country and she talked about shaming, she hit some points. She is really, really hitting the point in the issue button here. They've allowed the shaming, the same stuff they do overseas to Christians. And although, you know, we look and we know that the enemy is going to be against us, there's also one thing else, and the Lord is for us.
Amen, amen.
And if we can get this thing, we may not save all of America, but if we can save half of it, then it's saved half. There can be two Americas, the America that's of the corrupt and the America of the saved, the believers, the remnant. You need to make up your decision. And with that, I hate to tell you this, but we're out of time.
You're kidding me.
No, but you can say stuff. We don't have to leave right away.
Well, I was just looking at that article about Erdogan calling the prime minister of Israel a terrorist. I thought that was amusing. Here, I think he's the terrorist, and then he's calling Netanyahu a terrorist.
Well, that's the way they do it.
Yeah. He doesn't see what he is.
You know, they think just because they're loud and boisterous and they can kill you, it means they're right. That doesn't mean they're right.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they're right at all.
That's right.
And the Antichrist may be coming. Let's put the beast, the son of perdition. But even at that, that doesn't mean he's God, and it doesn't mean he's going to rule forever, and it doesn't mean we have to bow the knee to his idiocy and his lies and his corruption.
That's right.
Just because the enemy may win doesn't mean you need to cow down in fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind.
Amen.
And tonight I'm
Thank
telling
you,
Lord. You to use some of that power for good, to stand up for truth. And I can tell you one thing, if Franklin Graham can stand up and call you out to do something, then you need to do something, folks. If you've got at least a half a mind to, you know that old saying, I've got a half a mind to do something. So at any rate.
Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us. We love you. We appreciate you. We pray for you. And thank you for all you do for the Lord.
Yes, thank you. Shalom. We got to get going.
Good night, everybody.
We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.